You're listening to another AppleViz podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this general overview and demonstration of Braille displays and iDevices. I'm Scott Davert, and I did a recording of this ordeal about 2.5 years ago, but a lot has changed since iOS 6, which was when this was originally recorded. So instead of just doing incremental updates like I have been since iOS 7, 8, and 9 came out, I thought it'd be a good idea to go ahead and re-record this entire demonstration. In this demonstration, I will go through some general information about Braille displays as they relate to iDevices, how to pair different devices, the Braille menu and voiceover, and some of the other options that may be worth considering. We'll go through different navigational commands, text input, and finally, how to get help. Starting with general information, all displays made in the last 10 years are pretty much covered. Anything that has Bluetooth support is supported in iOS as well as on OS X. One exception to that rule is the BrailleNote M Power, which was released in 2005. It does have Bluetooth capability, but the Bluetooth capability is a protocol that is really old that the iDevices do not support, even the earlier iPhone 3GSs and stuff. So that's pretty much the only device I can think of that does not have some support or other with iOS 9. If you are someone running on iOS 8, if you have a Vario Ultra, that is supported on iOS 8.3 and later. And if you're on a Smart Beetle, you can get support in earlier versions of iOS, but there are some limitations to that. If you're interested in reading about any of those limitations on either device, feel free to consult the accessory review on that specific device. With the pairing process, again, you'll want to consult a manual or a review somewhere that has information about your specific display. There are a lot of different displays, and some of them have different ways of pairing, or they may have different authentication codes. For example, the Brilliant BI, as well as the Smart Beetle, they don't require a PIN at all. You just basically confirm that you want to pair, and they will do it. With the Braille Sense, you actually enter an authentication code, and then you have to enter it in computer Braille on the Braille Sense after you've entered it on the iOS device and hit pair. And it's also worth noting that some authentication codes are different. Typically it's 0000, that's what you have on the Focus 14 and 40, that's what you have on the Braille Edge, and several other devices. But, for example, with the Refresher Braille 1st and 2nd generation, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, and the new one, the new Refresher Braille, that is, it depends on whether you're using a secure connection or not. If you're not using a secure connection, then there's no PIN required. If you are, then, well, consult the manual or the accessory review where I talk about that. And then still, even beyond that, you have the Vario Ultra, which you have to actually pair through Bluetooth first, and then go into the voiceover settings and pair it, and again, consult the user documentation, or I also have an accessory review on that on AppleViz. Let's now get into the actual pairing. I am actually going to use a Braille Edge to do this pairing, and I have the iPod 6 here, running iOS 9.2, and I am going to go through that process right now to kind of talk you through it before we go to the actual pairing. What's going to happen is once I select the Braille Edge, then I have to enter the PIN code 0000 and then find the pair button, which is in the upper right corner. If you're fast at entering 0000, you can flick to the left until you get to pair if you don't want to guess where it is. But with this particular code, I recommend just tapping in the upper right area of the screen until you find it and double tap pair. One of the mistakes that a lot of people make when trying to pair a Braille display through their iDevice is trying to pair it through the settings Bluetooth menu. That is not where you're going to go to pair it, unless, again, you're running a Vario Ultra. Otherwise, no. You are going to go into the voiceover settings and find it there. And the reason for that is the Braille display is being driven by voiceover. So voiceover has to have control of that particular device. Then what you're going to do is a bit dependent on what you're running. You'll want to make sure that Bluetooth is turned on your iDevice. It is on mine. You can go into settings and Bluetooth and turn it on, or go into the control center, however you want to do it. That is totally your call, or to verify that it's on. Then you need to go into either terminal mode or terminal for screen reader mode if you're on a note taker of sorts, or Braille display mode if you're on a Vario Ultra, or in some cases, like the Focus 14 and the Brilliant BI, you don't really need to go in any mode specifically. All you need to do is turn the device on, and it should auto-detect that you are waiting for a Bluetooth connection. With the Braille Edge, I go into terminal mode, and I have the switch on the left side set to Bluetooth so that it is ready to pair. On the Braille display right now, all it says is terminal mode. And now on my iDevice, I need to go into settings, general, accessibility, voiceover, and Braille. Or if you want to do that a little more quickly, you can use Siri to open voiceover settings, but not Braille settings. It only goes a couple of menu options in, and then navigate to Braille, which is what I'm going to do now. Open settings for voiceover.
Here are the settings for voiceover.
Settings, accessibility, back button.
Now that I'm in the voiceover menu, I am actually going to flick to the right a couple of times so that I can actually get into the menu itself, and then I'm going to scroll up with three fingers so that I can get closer to Braille, because it's toward the bottom.
Voiceover, heading, voiceover, on.
I'll scroll up now.
Rows 4 to 15 of 17. Phonetic feedback, typings, rotor, Braille, button.
There it is, and you hear there it says Braille button. If you have a display connected or paired, it will specify what that last device was. And you'll see that here when we investigate the menu. I'll go ahead and double tap now.
Voiceover, back button.
And at this point, if Bluetooth is not turned on your iDevice, you will have the dialogue that pops up that says, hey, you need Bluetooth in order to use a Braille display. Do you want to turn Bluetooth on? You can double tap yes or no if you don't want to pair it. I happen to have Bluetooth on, so that's not coming up, but you may see that here if you don't have Bluetooth on. Let us go now to near the bottom. In fact, I'm going to tap the bottom of the screen with four fingers and then move backwards.
Braille EDGE 1736, not paired, button.
And that is the Braille Edge that I am going to pair. You'll notice it says not paired. If you have a Braille device paired but not connected, VoiceOver will say not connected instead of not paired. I'll go ahead and double tap now.
Braille EDGE 1736, pairing. Secure text field 0000.
There we go. I entered 0000.
PIN, pair, button.
Tap near the upper right, found pair. And I'll double tap.
Pair. Braille, Smart Beetle, B00120, not connected, button.
And you heard a little bonk there. Actually, that's not saying that I got the wrong answer. That's the right one in this case. And then the voiceover cursor is put some random place on the screen. Right now it's on another display, the Smart Beetle, that was paired here earlier. And on my Braille display, I see Smart Beetle, and a bracket, B, and then another bracket, 00120, not connected, BTN for button. So we definitely do have Braille here. Now I'm going to go to the upper left corner of the screen so that we can explore this screen together. And I will say that This section is going to be kind of navigation along with exploring the menu and some of the commands you'll need. And also let you know that I'm not touching my iPod anymore. My iPod is sitting on the table in front of me, but I have the Braille Edge, and that's what I'm going to use for the rest of the demonstration. Those of you who may be familiar with note takers like the Braille and Speak or the Braille Note or the Braille Centra or the internal workings of the Braille Edge, you may be familiar with some of these commands already. For example, if I hit space with the letter L,
voiceover, back button,
I'm taken to the upper left corner. Now if I hit space with 456,
more info, SmartBeal B00120, not connected, button,
that is what is in the lower right corner of the screen. But in the interest of what we're doing here, I'm going to go to the upper left corner with space and the letter L,
voiceover, back button.
And now if I want to flick to the right, I can do that with space and dot 4.
Braille, heading. Braille display output, contracted, button.
We'll get into that in a minute. Now if I want to go back to the left, I can do space with dot 1.
Braille, heading.
So I will start now with the first option that we have here.
Braille display output, contracted, button.
So you can change the output of the Braille display here in the menu. So say, for example, you are comfortable writing in contracted Braille, but you don't want to read in it. I've seen the reverse, but I've never seen this happen. But if you did want to do that, you could come into this menu and select the type of display output. To do that, I can, of course, double tap the touchscreen, or I can press a cursor routing button if my display has those, which is above or below any of the characters displayed on this line of Braille. So it says Braille display output contracted BTN. So I can hit any of the cursor routing buttons above that in this particular case, and it will activate the menu.
Braille back button.
And again, to flick to the right, I can do space with dot 4.
Braille display output heading. Uncontracted 6 dot Braille. Uncontracted 8 dot Braille. Selected, contracted Braille.
These are the different options.
Selected, contract Braille.
And that's the last one. So if I wanted to select a different one, say
uncontracted 8 dot Braille,
I could again hit a cursor routing button.
Selected, uncontracted 8 dot Braille.
And the output immediately switches to uncontracted 8 dot Braille. But I like contracted Braille, so I'm going to flick to the right with space and dot 4.
Contracted Braille.
Hit a cursor routing button.
Selected. Contracted Braille.
And now that option is selected. To get out of this menu, of course, we can do a two-finger scrub. We can double tap the upper left corner of the screen. With Braille, you can hit space with L and then hit a cursor routing button, or hit space with the letter B for back.
Braille screen input, 6 dot button.
And this is an iOS, I think a 9.2 thing, but it really started in 9.1, where focus is just kind of randomly set somewhere in the screen. We're actually a little further down than where we had started. But if I hit space and dot 1 a couple times,
Braille display input, contracted button.
I did it one time, and we're actually on the option that will be after output, which logically would be input. So what input is what you're typing. So for example, if you're more comfortable reading contracted Braille than you are writing it, you could come in here and set your reading or output, which we just talked about, to contracted, but you could put your input to 6 or 8 dot uncontracted Braille. There is one more option in this menu that I will show you. I'm going to go ahead and hit a cursor routing button.
Braille back button.
And of course we have
Braille display input heading uncontracted 6 dot Braille uncontracted 8 dot Braille selected contracted Braille.
But if we keep going in this menu,
selected automatic Braille translation on,
we can turn automatic Braille translation on or off.
Selected automatic Braille translation on,
and that is the final choice. With automatic Braille translation, what that means is if you are typing in contracted Braille and you have automatic Braille translation turned off, you will have to hit the space bar before the Braille translator will actually translate whatever it is that you are trying to type. There's also a command to do this. So say, for example, if you did want to turn it off, you could do that and then hit space with dots 4 and 5, and it would automatically translate the Braille. I'll demonstrate that here when we get into the text input portion of this podcast. I'm going to hit space with B to go out of here.
Braille, Braille display input, contracted button.
And this time it remembered it, so that's good. It doesn't always, as you saw earlier.
Braille screen input, 6-dot button.
This is related to the screen part of Braille. We already have a podcast on that, and I'm covering Braille displays, so we aren't going to look at that. Next option.
Status cell off button.
Status cell, we do have a guide on the different meanings of the status cells and what they represent. You can select left, right, or of course off, which I do. I tend to use smaller Braille displays sometimes, and those kind of get in the way, so I keep them off. But there are some useful things, like if you have speech on or off, if you can't hear it, there's a way to display that, and their battery status, and all sorts of different things. So feel free to go and check out the guide for that.
Equations use Nemeth code on.
If you want to use Nemeth code for your equations, you still have that option.
Show on screen keyboard off.
Show on screen keyboard I leave off because it kind of gets in the way. Say, for example, when you're in text messages windows and you want to get directly to the send button. Prior to iOS 9, you would have to hit space with 4, 5, 6 to get there. Now, of course, you can hit space with dot 8. But it does tend to get in the way sometimes, so I leave it off in most cases, unless I'm in a rare situation where I don't have a Bluetooth keyboard. And since I have a significant hearing problem, I actually use a Braille display paired with the iPhone, which in most cases I have a Bluetooth keyboard so that the other person can type to me if I can't hear them, and then I can read it on my display. But in those rare circumstances where I actually don't have a Bluetooth keyboard but I need to communicate, I can come in here. There's also a command to do it and turn on the on-screen keyboard so that a sighted person can use my phone to type.
Turn pages when panning on.
Turn pages when panning is something that a lot of people have wanted for a long time. We got it with iOS 8 in Braille, and that is so that when you're done with a page in a book, say in iBooks or Kindle, it will actually automatically take you to the next page.
Braille translation, English unified button.
Braille translation is something that we should take a look at. I can kind of explain what we have here a little bit. I'm going to do what? I'm not going to curse about my router, but I'm going to hit a cursor routing button.
Braille, back button.
And keep hitting space with dot 4 to look at what we have here.
Braille translation, heading, selected, English unified.
English unified. Here in the United States, we have officially started our switch over to UEB, and by default, this is what you will find when you connect your iDevice to a Braille display. It's by default set to unified, so if you are looking at the device and reading the display and you're like, what are these funky symbols? For example, the left and right bracket, and there are some other changes, of course. That's probably where it's coming from. Now, if I keep going through the menu,
English, US,
you can go back to your old English, US table. So if I hit a cursor routing button,
selected, English, US,
it immediately switches back to US Braille for the most part, although Apple, starting in iOS 8, kind of integrated the two, so US Braille doesn't necessarily look like it's supposed to. For example, the brackets that I have on English US at this time are still showing as what they would in unified English Braille. In this case, that's because it didn't actually refresh the display for some reason to show English US, but if I go back to the left one,
English unified,
now the brackets are showing up in U.S. English Braille. So I will go ahead and switch back to Unified now.
Selected English Unified.
And I'm using Unified because, well, I have to get used to it. This is what we're dealing with now. And so that's what I use. There is another option in this menu for English UK Braille if you want to switch to that, if that's what you're still more comfortable with. I'm going to go ahead and get back out of this menu.
Braille, Braille display output, contracted button.
We'll keep going down the menu now.
Braille display input, Braille screen input, 6-dot, status cell, off, equations use Nemeth code, show on screen keyboard, off, turn pages when panning, off, Braille translation, English unified button. Alert display duration, 1.5s, button.
Alert display duration is the next option that we have, and alert display duration allows you to control how long an announcement will pop up on your screen. You may have noticed, for example, that I have hints turned off in VoiceOver, and that's for a lot of reasons, one of them being that it's just annoying and it doesn't apply to me on a Braille display, and the other being that I just don't want it popping up. And it's irrelevant. If I'm not using my touchscreen, double tap to open is useless. Doesn't mean anything to me unless I know the equivalent. Anyway, you can come in here and you can set either by typing in a text field or by a picker item the amount of time that you would like something like a hint. Or if you're a VoiceOver user playing Dice World, you'll find that if you have it's set to announce the dice that you have, it will also do that for the amount of duration that you have set here. I won't bother going into that. That pretty much explains the whole thing.
Choose a Braille display heading.
And here we have the bottom of the menu, finally. The Choose a Braille display menu. And this is where I actually had originally started when we connected the Braille Edge.
In progress heading.
And I just keep flicking to the right.
Selected. Braille EDGE 1736. Connected. Button.
And of course, that's the display I'm using.
Braille Sense U2064. Not connected. Button.
That is another display. That's a Braille Sense that is not connected right now. But if I wanted to, if the Braille display was in range, I could select it on the Braille Edge and it would then switch over to the Braille Sense. So that is the menu that we have for the Braille options in VoiceOver. There are a few other things that you may want to consider setting, but the first thing I'm going to do is get out of this menu now, and I can do that, of course, by hitting the home button on my iDevice, or I can hit space with H for home, and
home, money reader.
I am now on my home screen, and I can use the same commands that we were using earlier to navigate around my home screen. Space with that one will take me one item backwards.
News folder, 11 apps.
And space with 456 will land me in the lower right corner of the dock.
Dock, Dropbox.
Space with L, of course.
Messages.
Top left corner, and so on and so forth. There are other things that you can do if you want to quickly navigate to something that you know that is on that particular page. Say, for example, I wanted to navigate to mail. I could hit space with the letter F for find.
Enter search text.
Type M-A-I-L, and then space with dot 8.
Doc, mail, 7 unread emails.
And I'm taken directly to the mail app on my phone, so that's a very handy thing to have. Some other commands that really come in handy are space with M, which turns
speech off.
And now I can move around my screen. And there's no speech. Somebody might be out there saying, "Oh, that's great, but what about all those beeps and blips from VoiceOver? I don't want to hear those either." Well, first of all, I need to turn
speech on
with space and the letter M again. That's a toggle. And what I can do, if it's not already in my rotor, I have to go into settings, general accessibility, VoiceOver, and then the rotor and add sounds. But if it's already there, I can, and it is in mine, I can navigate to it in the rotor with space and dots 5-6 or 2-3 to cycle through the different rotor options that we have available. So I will do that now. I'll hit space with 5-6.
Words, speech rate, sounds, containers.
And I went one too far, so I'll hit space with 2-3 to go back.
Sounds.
I'm going to hit space with dot 6.
Sounds off.
And turn off sounds. Now if I turn off speech.
Speech off.
I'm moving around my menu here, my home screen. Nothing. No noise at all. So that is how you have a completely silent experience with VoiceOver if you want it. I'm going to turn speech back on now.
Speech on.
And I'll turn sounds back on also.
Sounds on.
There are a lot of other commands. For example, space with S will take you to the status bar.
Airplane mode on. Status bar item. 3 of 3 Wi-Fi bars. Pretty fly for Wi-Fi.
And then I can hit space with dot 4 to move across the status bar, or space with dot 1 to move back through it. And then to get out of that, I can either press space with H. And that will not do anything. It used to. It doesn't anymore, apparently. Or you could do space with the letter B for back or escape. It does whatever the context is.
Messages.
There, I hit space with B. Now we're back on the home screen. And, of course, screen curtain is another one that a lot of people like. You can do that on the Braille display as well. Space with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Screen curtain on.
And if you hit it again, it will do the exact opposite of what it just did. You can also navigate around your home screen to different pages. So, for example, if I want to go to the next page of my home screen, I have 6 pages in total. I can hit space with the letter O.
Page 2 of 6. Nebulous.
And space with OW, or that's 246, to go back.
Page 1 of 6. Messages.
Of course, I can always go into the spotlight menu and find whatever I'm looking for that way. I can do that by hitting space with OW or 246 again from page 1 and type in whatever I want. I'm going to go back to page 1 here.
Home, page 1 of 6, messages.
Or I can hit
spotlight
space with dots 3, 4, 5, 6 from anywhere on any page of my home screen and pull up search that way. I'm going to go back to the home screen now.
Messages.
I did that with space and the letter H. So those are some basic commands. Now what I want to do is get into a few more commands and also look at text input. So I'm going to go into the Notes application now. It's the third app in the first column on page 1, so I can navigate to it with space with dot 4, or if I wasn't sure whether it was on this page, I could
enter search text
space with F and then type note.
Notes. Notes.
Now I have notes and then back BTN for the back button, of course.
Share note button.
And I am in a note already, but I want to create a new note. To do that, I can hit space with 4, 5, 6.
New note button.
That's the bottom right corner of the screen. That's the new note button. I'll hit a cursor routing button.
Note, text field is editing, character mode, insertion point at start.
And now I can type. So say, for example, I just want to say, hello, my name is Scott. Hello, comma, my name is Scott.
Tango.
There it is. What you'll hear depends on what you have set under VoiceOver typing feedback. So right now, I think I have both words and characters off, but it still spits a bit of gibberish out. But if you do set it to words, for example, you'll be able to tell where the typing is, what word has just been typed, and that will work. You can also have it set to pronounce each character, which I find kind of annoying when I'm typing in Braille, but I'm a fast typer, so that would make sense. Anyway, I have here on the Braille display, capital hello, comma, my name is Scott. No problem. With all this talk of contracted versus uncontracted input and all that, I thought it might be a good idea to give you a couple more commands before we kind of move along here in the text input part of the podcast. And those commands are to switch between contracted, uncontracted, 6 and 8 dot Braille through input or output. Each of them has their own keyboard command. So say, for example, I decided I wanted to input or type in uncontracted 6-dot Braille. I'm currently set in contracted Braille. I could press space with dots 2, 3, 6.
Braille input, 6-dot.
And if I press it again.
Braille input, 8-dot.
And one more time.
Braille input, contracted.
We can do the same with output, in other words, what you're reading, and you can toggle that with space and the letter G. That's space with dots 1, 2, 4, 5.
Braille output, 6-dot. Braille output, 8-dot. Braille output, contracted.
There are a lot of other commands I can do. For example, if I want to delete all this, I can hit space with 2, 3, 5, 6.
Select all.
And then if I want to get rid of it all, space with dot 7 for backspace.
Selection deleted.
And it's gone now. Braille input, especially when you're using contracted Braille, can be a little tricky, but Apple has done some things to kind of address this a little bit. Say, for example, I type H-E, and then I get interrupted. And I have he there. And now if I type L-L,
little,
I get the word little. He little. That's not really a word. It does sound kind of like a cartoon character, I guess. So it's important to, if you're going to keep automatic Braille translation on, which I do because it's faster and I'm a faster typer, so it speeds things up a bit, you have to be aware of what you've typed. Now, if I had typed LLO, it would have just translated that as LLO because there's no equivalent contraction to that particular series of letters. You can tell, by the way, if what you have typed has been translated yet because there is a full cell at the beginning and end of your Braille display before the actual translation has occurred. So if you wanted to make an edit, you could do that with either automatic Braille translation on or off, but obviously in this case it might be better to have it off. You don't have to worry about it. But let's say, for example,
he little misspelled.
If I wanted to write the word AppleViz, and I want it to be translated right away,
AppleViz,
I can type the word and then hit space with dots 4-5 to do automatic Braille translation. I don't have time to go over every nook and cranny of Braille. That would take a long time. I could probably do a whole series on it. I do want to go briefly into Safari. I'm going to do that by going to the home screen with space and the letter H.
Home. Notes.
And I can navigate down to the dock. That is another way to do it. Space with 4-5-6 will take me to the lower right icon.
Dock. Dropbox.
I can hit space with dot 1 now.
Safari.
And now we have Safari. I'll hit a cursor routing button.
Safari. Address. 10. Audible audiobooks. Nope.
And we're on the Audible page. That was the last page I had been looking at. Let's say I'm going to go to the top of this page. Again, space and 1, 2, 3.
Address. Mobile.audible.com. Secure and validate and connect. Reload. Button.
Hitting space with dot 1.
Audible audiobooks, mobile web store, visited, link, banner, landmark.
And it says Audible audiobooks mobile web store on the Braille display. And if I hit my panning button on the edge, it's a little diamond-shaped button. I will also get VTD LNK with a space in the middle for visited link. And then banner, comma, landmark. So we have all the information that VoiceOver just gave us. But again, I can actually hit and find anything I want on this page in theory. So let's say, for example, again, I'll hit space with F.
Enter search text.
Let's say I want to search for credits. C-R-E-D-I-T-S.
Credits.
And
credits. Link.
I hit space with dot 4, and indeed it is on the credits link. So that works. You can also use Quick Nav if you want. You can do that with space, backspace, and the letter Q.
Single letter Quick Nav on, Quick Nav off.
Remember that single quick letter navigation, which is separate from Quick Nav. You can do actual Quick Nav with space and Q without dot 7. So now if I hit H, it doesn't do anything. Now, if I hit H and then space with 4, 5, it still does nothing. So, in theory, you should be able to go into a web page and navigate by first letter quick navigation, but it's still not working 100%. I mean, I've even seen instances where you come back and you load a page and it works fine, even though 20 minutes ago it did not. So, that is a little bit about Safari and some of the things you can do with that. Of course, we have all of our rotor options here, space with 5, 6.
Lines. Speech rate.
And then I can hit space with dot 1.
35%. 40%.
And that will increase my speech rate, space with dot 6.
35%. 30%.
Decreases it. Again, I have not touched the actual iDevice since I paired the Braille display. I'll go back to the home screen now.
Home.
We have now a voiceover bug because it doesn't really gain focus. I've seen this a lot in 9.2. On the Braille display, it still says credits link, but voiceover didn't say anything, so I have to actually tap the screen to get it to go back to my home screen and actually get voiceover to know, oh yeah, I switched. I'm not on the Safari page anymore. So that is an annoying bug that I'm not happy about at all, because it makes me reach into my pocket and actually use my iPhone when I don't want to. Be that as it may, it could be worse. I could be stuck on Windows Mobile or Android with a Braille display, and that wouldn't be good. Anyway, there are different commands that are available because of the fact that there are different buttons on the Braille display. All these commands that I've showed you here thus far have been applicable to all Braille displays. But I do also want to show you a way to get in and have a look at what we have in terms of specific functions to each display. So from anywhere in iOS, or OS X for that matter, you can hit space and the letter K.
Starting help to stop help. Perform a four-finger double tap or two-finger scrub or press escape on the keyboard.
And now we're in the voiceover help mode. You can also get to it, of course, through the voiceover menu if you want. Now, if I hit any key on the Braille edge, I'll hit the F8 key, for example.
F8, scroll down one page.
It tells me what that command does. I'll hit F1.
F1, select previous rotor setting.
I'll hit the pan right button.
Pan Braille to the right.
I'll hit the down arrow button.
Right pad down, move to next item using rotor setting.
And so you get the idea there that any command that I want to learn what it does, I want to learn what its equivalent function is, I can come in here and find that out. And keep in mind that, for example, on the Vario Ultra, a couple of the keys on there don't actually do anything. So if you're pressing it and it's not doing anything, it's possible that the key that you're pressing doesn't have an equivalent. I know the Focus 14 also has a couple of those. Anyway, I'll get out of here with space and B.
Escapes the current context, stopping help.
And I'm going to wrap up the podcast. It's time for me to escape. I hope that this podcast is helpful in getting you up and running with a Braille display on your iDevice. If you would like to contact me with any questions, feel free to do so. You can find me on Twitter. My username is Scott Davert. That's ScottDavert, all one word. Or you can drop me an email, scottdavert@gmail.com. Again, that's scottdavert@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.
This podcast was brought to you by the team at Apple This. For more information and resources to help you get the best experience from your Apple device, visit the Apple This website at www.applethis.com, where you can also contact the Apple This team.